The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
If you've been listening to Tony Curry Radio, you just heard Need to Know. We got the crystal ball out for 2026. Got Michael Coleman's, who's a very successful guy in the non-for-profit. It's funny. Real quick, where, and I know I'm going to get this question. Non-for-profit, when the economy's going where, how does it affect the non-for-profit world? And then I know we had another stat we wanted to get into, but I wanted to ask you about that. We ran out of time on our previous show. But can you get an idea of where the economy's going based on how people give?
Not necessarily where it's going, but where it is, because people tend to give more if they have disposable income. So things are going well for them. But as we talked about on Mission Minded, stock market sometimes is a 6-month projection out. And so if the stock market's down for the year, it's because corporate earnings are not what they should be, or there's other factors out there. And so people go, oh, in the coming months, things could be down. I need to hold on to more of my dollars. And so it's tougher to bring in new donors. It's tougher to get, sometimes people will cut a donation. If they're normally a $1,000 giver, you know, they may cut it to $750, they may cut it to $500, or they may skip a year. Unless they're just really committed to. So it can affect it. A strong stock market, though, because we're talking about major donors, because, you know, 20% of your donors give about 80% of your proceeds. Mm-hmm. And so really your major donors are going to be invested in the stock market or have retirement funds or have family funds, you know, things of that nature that they donate from. And a lot of it is you see people that go, OK, I don't mess with the principal. So let's say you have $5 million of principal in a trust fund. And so they go, OK, let's say it grows $500,000 this year. Okay. So that's all money earned. Well, that's what they give away. They don't give any of the principal. So from year to year, depending on what the stock market does, let's say it has a down year and it only makes $200,000. Well, that's only $200,000 to give.
Yeah.
If it makes $1 million, then they give $1 million away. So a lot of people is giving is all benevolence is, or really, I should say philanthropy is really determined by how well the stock market did that year.
All right. Real interesting stat. We got time. And I was going to make this our bite by bite because it's traditionally a little shorter, but I can't wait to hear your take on this. So we don't want a broad brush here by any stretch of the imagination. But there was an interesting stat that I saw where the average weight of a woman who buys groceries without SNAP benefits and the average weight of a woman who is on SNAP benefits varies greatly. And what does that mean? The person who's on SNAP benefits traditionally weighs, not again, we're not broad brushing, not everyone out there, if you're on SNAP benefits, we're not saying you weigh 220 pounds, but they traditionally weigh quite a bit more than a person who's not on SNAP benefits. And what does that mean? You got that stat. And I was like, I can't wait to hear where you're going to go with it. Is it just mean that?
Yeah. So women who aren't on SNAP, who they say, you know, buys all their own food. Mm-hmm. It's not on any sort of government dependence. Average weight's about 150 pounds. But the average weight of somebody who is on SNAP and has been on SNAP, I guess, I didn't dig down into the numbers, but it's about 210 pounds. It's about 60 pounds difference. There's so many things that there's a real danger. You can look at something like that and draw several conclusions. And I think I want to avoid doing that. Although I will tell you, it can point out some things of interest. Number one, it's no secret that in poverty, there is an obesity problem. And you would think about, health issues, hypertension, stroke, higher rates of stroke, heart issues, diabetes, on and on and on, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, all of that's related to just severe obesity. And that's one of the things that you see so often. And it's really perplexing if you look, because you would think, okay, if a family, we think in our minds, when we think of starving families and starving children, we tend to think the old images we see, we grew up with seeing them in Africa,
yeah,
where they were almost tribal.
Emaciated, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, emaciated people and just flies and just... And that's so different, because our poor walk around, and this is not, I want to make sure it's not racial. It doesn't matter whether you're talking, this is not African-American women. This is African-American women, Hispanic women, Caucasian women, just women as a whole. And a lot, it has to do with activity, women in poverty, lots of times may have children, but there's a lot of sedentary behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women who work are typically more active. They go to the gym. They take care of themselves. People in middle class, we've talked about this before, typically are more concerned about what they take into their body. People in poverty oftentimes don't know how to read food labels. And I say that just because when I was running other nonprofits and dealt with people in poverty for so long, I never had somebody that knew how to read. Even if they knew how to read a food label, they didn't actively consider those things in their shopping. So when you don't understand fats and carbohydrates and proteins or what it does to your body, you tend to eat what you enjoy eating.
Yeah.
And you don't tend to, you know. So there were people who didn't know the difference between, you know, a bag of Oreos and a bag of apples. You know, it's just, hey, the Oreos taste good, and that's what I like. And then there's some poverty cultures have really glorified obesity. They do it in music. They do it in, you know, in their post.
Well, now it's okay. I mean, you got plus size women, and it's okay to be plus size because we don't want to body shame.
Well, see, and I think we've come on the backside of that now. I think it used to be coming out of COVID and when we were, everything was, to borrow the term woke, was, you'd have a 300-pound woman in a swimsuit,
mm-hmm.
On an SI swimsuit model. And everybody, you know, and or somebody would post that to their page and everybody would scream, "You go, girl, you know, you go." Well, a lot of people do that. If that woman's not a threat to them, but yeah. You don't see the same kind of support woman to woman from women who do have more attractive figures and all of that. But we went through this to where, yeah, you just exactly what you said, there can be no body shaming. So we all had to pretend that somebody who was severely obese is healthy and it's okay. And we're going to applaud them because that's how they choose to live their life. When in reality, it's a problem across the board.
Can you talk real quick? And I know we're out of time, but can you talk real quick about the first thing I thought of was they're not eating as healthy. And the other thing is, you know, if you owe someone $1,000 and you come up with 200, you can either give that $200 to the $1,000 person, or if you're not a person that usually has money, you're going to take that $200 and you're going to go do something with it. We see it with alcoholics. We see it with people that obviously have addictions. I wonder if too, sometimes when you're poor and you're having a difficult time, that you don't take comfort. And we always talk about comfort foods. We talk about the foods that make us feel comfortable. When you're behind it, you're 60 pounds overweight and you're just looking for some type of glimmer of hope. Sometimes it feels good to have an entire bowl of ice cream. I mean, I don't know how else to put it,
yeah.
But I would think that some people that are having a difficult time that are on SNAP, that sometimes they find joy in eating. We know we have a problem with that in this country. Obesity is a major problem. And it's not about, you know, intake and outtake. This is a mental thing. This is a mental thing for a lot of people. It's an illness. But I wonder if that plays into it at all as well.
Well, it's hard to say with each individual person, but you know, the mental health of people, and I want to be careful how I say this. I'm not saying poverty alone is a mental health condition. But what I'm saying is lots of people battling mental health will find themselves in poverty because maybe they can't sustain a job. Mm. Maybe they can't get their life on track. Maybe they continue to make poor decisions. You know, I try to be as balanced as I can. I know that there's some people that have some very difficult life circumstances. They have special needs children. They themselves struggle, disabled, whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is a lot of people are in poverty because they continue to make bad choices in life. And they are not seeking to change their behavior. And so if you get free stuff and you make that a lifestyle versus, hey, I'm in a tough time and you get assistance. But if you just say, well, this is just going to be my life and I'm just going to continue to get food from the food bank forever, and that's your plan, that I do think the mental health and or just how you feel about yourself and what you're dooming yourself to by not utilizing your mind, not utilizing your body, not making better choices, not coming out of that. And sometimes people don't know how to do it. I get it. There, it could be a resource deficiency. There's several factors, and I'm not trying to blame. It's not a blame game, but I think everybody needs to have an expectation to be or to strive to be what God created them to be, what gifts and abilities they had. And I think lots of times people just continue to make the same poor choices over and over and over. And, you know, we still don't want people to starve. We're still going to help people with food. But I think the facts are bearing out that it's not the situation is not lots of times that it's just people without food. Yeah. And so it runs deeper. It can, and like you said, it could be mental health. It could be emotional. It could be all the other factors out there, but
very interesting. It's very interesting though. Very interesting stat. It really is. It does broad brush. HAFB hashtag that anytime you want to give. Michael would certainly appreciate that. We thank you for all the hard work you do during the holidays. I know you're looking for some time off too. I mean, you've just been getting after it during the festivities of the holiday season, and can't wait for a 2026. And don't forget to be listening to our brand new show called Mission Minded. You're like, wait a minute, don't you guys do a show? Yes, we do, but it's going to be an hour. It's going to go an hour long, and it's going to be on 100.1 The Truth, which is WXJC, which is going to be coming up a little bit later on in 2026. So we're really excited about that opportunity to proclaim the word of the Lord and do some Christian work, and at the same time talk about some business as well. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year to you, my bro.
You as well, my friend.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.